The coalition government has been accused of many things, but in the past few days it faced a new and perhaps very serious charge that it did not accept the view of the Institute for Fiscal Studies. The IFS reached one conclusion about the spending review, the government another. And it's a mark, perhaps, of this organisation's prominence that many people, perhaps most, seem to believe the IFS rather than the politicians and civil servants. Gordon Brown once described the IFS as an indispensable British institution, but then it disagreed with his figures sometimes as well. So who are these people? Paul Moss has been finding out.
Good to see you. How are you doing?
Very good, thank you.
It's not often you get to visit the modern-day version of a Greek oracle, but that is the feeling you have when you walk through the door of the IFS, because the Institute for Fiscal Studies is no ordinary think tank, certainly not a campaign group. What the IFS sets out to give you is the unbiased, unvarnished truth, the objective, almost God-given facts about the money we pay in taxes and how government spends it. The IFS acting director, Carl Emerson, told me how they manage this.
What we do is we have an independent, objective analysis of data backed up by individuals who are very, very careful in the analysis they do in terms of the way in which they crunch the data and look at the numbers, and I think it is possible to objectively set that out in many cases.
What qualities are you looking for in people who want to come and work at the Institute for Fiscal Studies?
An individual applying to work at the Institute for Fiscal Studies must have or expect to get a first-class degree in economics from a top university, and they work in particular policy areas for a long period of time. So that gives a lot of expertise in that particular area of policy.
What we've got to try to do is to find the solution to the balance of payments problem.
The IFS story begins back in 1965, when the then Chancellor James Callaghan was struggling with a fierce budget deficit.
Things like pleasure parks, swimming bars, we can't afford them at the present time.
One of Callaghan's solutions was to introduce new taxes on company profits, a move that didn't go down well with four London financiers. They felt Callaghan hadn't done his calculations properly, so they formed the Institute for Fiscal Studies to keep a check on future governments and the figures they produced. It was a role that was to become crucial in the 1980s, according to Anatole Kaletsky, the author of a recent book, Economics 4.0.
The situation really changed with the Thatcher government. The old guard in the Treasury was largely removed and replaced very much by Thatcher loyalists. And of course, then there was a total reversal with the Labour government coming to power, and in a way, even more, the Treasury being taken over by explicitly political appointees. That's what really created not just an opening, but a need for an organization like the IFS. An objective arbiter of government tax and spending.
The Institute for Fiscal Studies said this week that significant
analysis by the respected Institute for Fiscal Studies last week estimated that 87%...
They certainly get to make their point. The IFS is quoted almost universally in the British media. A part of the British Constitution was how one commentator described it. And last year, the Institute for Fiscal Studies won the ultimate accolade. Prospect magazine named it Think Tank of the Year, the policy wonk's equivalent of winning an Oscar. James Crabtree was on the jury that gave the award.
The average IFS person is, you know, technically competent people who are, you know, who like working with spreadsheets and who are good at doing technical analysis, very good with facts and figures, and not especially showy in the way that they present them. And that's a little bit different probably from the more flashy people who work in some think tanks.
Now, does it apply to international companies as well? So if you're...
It is a sign of the times. At London City University, they've started a special degree program in financial journalism, a recognition of the increasingly prominent role of business and economic news.
Because, of course, under US law, that would also be illegal under the Illegal Foreign Practices Act.
Running the course is Professor Steve Schifferers. He is a fan of the Institute for Fiscal Studies, but Schifferers argues that its success simply reflects a failing among British journalists. They turn to the IFS, he argues, because they can't deal with the numbers themselves.
Many people in the media are quite scared of numbers. They're not able to think about numbers quickly on their feet in the way that gives other people the sense of what these numbers actually mean, which is what the job of a journalist is. So the IFS makes a very valuable contribution because it crunches all the numbers and by consensus is trusted. And journalists, if nothing else, follow the herd on who is trusted.
Trusted, maybe, but not totally beyond controversy. Only in the past week, the Institute for Fiscal Studies disagreed with the government over the effects of its spending review.